tasyaha prakrite sadrisham cheshtate. Every person acts in the world, pravartate cheshtate. So not only human being, but every being in creation. They all act according to its own prakriti, its own nature, its own character. For example, if I take a tiger is naturally ferocious. That is the nature of tiger. You cannot see a docile tiger. It's a ferocious tiger by nature. A cow is naturally docile. So by nature it is docile. So every being has got its own trait, its own nature, and every being acts according to its own nature only. So Krishna puts here a big bombshell. Jnanavanati, even if the person is a jnani, even if the person is an intelligent person, even if he is a discriminative person, even that person acts according to his swabhava, according to his prakriti only. There is no change in that. So even a jnanavan, he should act according to, dharma, adharma, all that. But for him also, prakriti takes over. For him also, he acts according to his own nature, which looks as if there is no other choice. Even for a jnani, if he is going to act like that, there is no choice for all other people. So faith alone dictates, it means nature alone dictates. So maybe it is fate or it is destiny, whatever we want to call it. So prakritim yanti bhutani, all beings, they go according to prakriti. The very prakriti alone, or nature, or character. So Krishna makes a very general statement. Sarvani bhutani prakritim yanti. Okay, all beings, sarvani bhutani. Then can I stop prakriti? Can I stop my nature and say, okay, I won't act according to my nature. Let me act according to what is dharma, dharma. Can I do that? Krishna says, nigraha kim karishyati. Who can stop? Who can control prakriti? Nobody can control prakriti at all. Nobody can do that. So nigraha kim karishyati, kinchitapi na karishyati. Nobody can do that. He partha kim. He is a negation. So nobody can do that. So nigraha is not going to be useful at all. Prakriti will force a person. Prakriti means its own nature or one's own character will force a person to act according to its power alone. According to the power of prakriti alone. So sarvaha prakriti jaihi gunaihi. Actually this has come earlier also. Everybody acts according to one's own guna, one's own nature. And this swabhava, this nature is also called guna. Sattvic guna, rajasic guna, tamasic guna. This is the swabhava of a person. Actually we did not use these things because we have not elaborately got into the discussion of gunas yet. It is going to come later in some other context, so we are going to discuss at that time. But for the time being, it is adequate to say that these three gunas, sattvic, rajasic and tamasic. So prakriti, swabhava, vasana, samskara, nature, guna, all of them are synonymous. When we use all of them, we can say they are all synonymous. So when we normally listen to this, what we will think? We will be disappointed to some extent. Why? Actually, the fatalists will be very happy. People who go by the fate argument, they will be very, very happy. Because now Krishna seems to say that we are helpless. We are all driven by our own fate, our own prakriti, our own destiny. That's what he says. So in the hands of prakriti, we are helpless. That's what Krishna seems to say here. So we are dragged, we are pushed, we are pulled by our own character, by our own original nature. We have no free will at all. Means to say that there is no free will at all. We have to suffer. We cannot do anything about it. We have to just only watch helplessly our life just getting pushed away by prakriti. So this seems to be the philosophy of majority of people. What everybody says? Everybody is written here. When I am born, it is written here. Lalata likitam. So everything is controlled by that only. I cannot do anything about it. If I am like this today, it is written there already. That is why in India, it's a good thing also. Otherwise, you must think, all those people living in those slums and all, how much time it will take for them to take to the roads and take law into their hands and go and ransack everything else? They don't. Why? Because it is inbuilt in them. It is in their blood. They accept the fact, it is written in their head, that they will be like that. That is written in them. That's what they feel. Otherwise, they can take to the streets and they can do any violent thing, right? You can see, if you go to Bombay, you see a Dharavi full of slums. And there is also all this Malabar Hill, all those things. There are high-rise buildings with affluent people living just across the road. You've got all these slums. Nothing happens. Because it is inbuilt in their blood that they accept the fact that it is according to their own punya papa that they have got a life like that. They may not be able to discuss it elaborately. They may not be able to analytically analyze it, but it is in them. It is all written here. It is their faith. That's what they think. So here the argument seems to be that we have no free will at all. Actually, in the next shloka, Krishna, he wants to remove this idea. Don't think that you have no free will. Don't think that you have no control. You have a lot of control. And he wants to establish that a person does have a free will. So that he will be able to change the course of things by his own effort. Which means a person can study shastras. A person can study shastra and he can gain wisdom and he can get his intellect sharpened. And he can govern his life according to what the shastra says, according to what the dharma says. Than just living according to, just subscribing to, surrendering to prakriti. That is what is going to be said in the next shloka. We will read shloka 34. Indriyasyendriyasyarthe.
Indriyasyendriyasyarthe. Indriyasyendriyasyarthe.
Ragadveshau vyavasthitau.
Ragadveshau vyavasthitau. Ragadveshau vyavasthitau.
Indriyasyendriyasyarthe. Ragadveshau vyavasthitau.
Indriyasyendriyasyarthe. Ragadveshau vyavasthitau.
Tayor navashamagachet.
Tayor navashamagachet. Tayor navashamagachet.
Tauhyasya paripantinau.
Tauhyasya paripantinau. Tauhyasya paripantinau.
Tayor navashamagachet. Tauhyasya paripantinau.
Tayor navashamagachet.
So how does this happen? Krishna is now discussing. We say that Prakriti is responsible for the activity of all beings in the previous shloka. That's what we said. Prakrite sadrisham cheshtate. That's what he said. But what the scripture says, your swabhava or prakriti cannot determine your action. This is a very subtle argument. We should be close with the argument. Your swabhava, your prakriti or your nature, it cannot determine your action. Then what does prakriti do? We say everything is driven by prakriti. Now we are saying prakriti cannot determine your action. Then what prakriti does? Prakriti can create only ragadvesha, which is nothing but manifestation of our own old vasanas or samskaras, whatever we have done earlier in our previous janmas. All those vasanas, they lead to this ragadvesha. So prakriti can create only ragadvesha alone. And this ragadvesha comes in the form of the first thought. The very first thought in the mind, where your mind says, I will have it or will I not have it. That is the first thought. When you look at something, the very first thought that comes into your mind, I want to have it, I don't want to have it, that very thought that you call sankalpa, that very thought alone is driven by prakriti. Right? I go to a shop, I see something, I seem to like it or I don't seem to like it. Only that much. Prakriti makes me to say, do only that much. Okay. So, Prakriti's job is only up to the point of creating the very first thought, which thought says, I will have this thing or I will not have this thing. And okay. And the first thought itself, can it become an action? Now, I have looked at something, I like it. That very first thought, can it become an action? It cannot become an action because the first thought is only a sankalpa. I feel like doing. It's a very feeble fancy to do a particular thing. That's all it is. It's a very, only very feeble thought at that time. Up to that thought, we have no choice. When we say prakriti drives a person, up to this thought, prakriti is in control. When I see something I like it, when I see this person, I like it, when I see this person, I don't like it. All these things up to that point, very first thought, Prakriti drives you. Then you find yourself, what you do, that thought, you are nurturing that thought afterwards. You are nourishing that thought, then what do you do at that time? Because it never asked your permission to come in. That thought never asked your permission, because Prakriti drives it. Prakriti drives it, that first sankalpa, first thought has come, it never asked your permission, it has come to you now. And that thought is born out of, not out of your choice, but born out of your samskara or according to your vasanas. That thought was born according to that, you didn't entertain that thought. Fortunately or unfortunately, depending on what that thought is. If it is a good thought, it is a fortunate thought. If it is a bad thought, it is an unfortunate thought. You have no control up to this point. It will definitely come, it will gate crash on you because it is purva janma samskara, your own vasanas, prakriti. So, if it is, if this first thought or the sankalpa, if it has to become a desire and then end up in an action, then who has to fan that thought? I have to fan that thought. It doesn't by itself come. So, that thought has come. So, that thought for it to become a kama, for it to become a kama, it becomes a karma by repetitively thinking, I like it, I like it, I like it, I want to have it, why not have it? Without that, my life will come to an end. Who fanned all this? I fanned all this. So my free will has control from that point on. First thought will come, it will get crashed on you, you have no choice. Because beyond that, you have all the choice to control that thought, whether it can be fanned further or not. That's what we can do. So, sankalpa has to become very strong through repetitive thinking, through repetition. And only when the sankalpa has become saturated, when it becomes powerful, which we then call as kama or craving. So, for the sankalpa to become a craving, you have to fan the thought more and more by repeatedly thinking again and again, I want to have it, I want to have it. And only when the sankalpa has become saturated and powerful, then the craving becomes so strong, then we will find what? We are not able to control it anymore. Whatever it is, I have to have it. Without that, my life will come one end. That is what people do because they have nourished this thought by themselves because it is so saturated in the thought process. Therefore, it comes down to the physical body level at that time. So, what was there only in the subtle level, in the thought level, now comes in the physical body level where you do an action because thoughts are saturated now. You repeatedly thought that this is what you want to have. It is saturated. Desire is full now. It is so strong. Now it manifests in the physical action of buying something or hitting somebody, doing whatever it is. It translates into a physical action because we nourished the thought, we fanned the thought. We had all the control with our free will not to nourish it, but we did not. We failed, so it becomes into an action. Fortunately or unfortunately, we don't know. So, sankalpa has to be magnified to come. Sankalpa is first thought, it will get crash on you. You have no choice on that, driven by vasanas. For that to transform into karma, you have to repeatedly nourish it. You have to repeatedly think about that. And this karma alone has to crystallize into karma, action. So, Prakriti creates sankalpa, that becomes karma, and that karma becomes, translates into karma, action. So, this is the sequence. Okay? So, actually in the 6th chapter, Krishna is going to say, sankalpa prabhavan kaman tyaktva sarvan aseshataha. Krishna is going to say, a yogi should renounce all desires that are born out of sankalpa, the very first thought. The moment the first thought comes, you see whether it is a good thought to nourish or not. If not, clip it right there. Do not even have a small vacillation. Oh, this time once is not bad. Small amount is not bad. 1 ounce is not bad. No. Clip it right then. Do not nourish it at all. If you cannot do it by at the mental level, walk away from there. You get out of that place. Normally this all happens. You know, in parties and when you get together, some thought will come. Gossip. Gossip is very tasty always. It's always tasty. Leave that place. There is no need to gossip. It's all, non-productive thought, non-productive discussion. Leave. You may be, they may consider you as, you know, non-social. Doesn't matter, so what? He's not taking you to moksha, I am taking you. I got to go to moksha myself. He's not taking you. Leave. Because if the first thought is not clipped, it is going to haunt us. That's what Krishna says. So, one great blessing is the production of sankalpa is prakriti's job. That is true. And not, that is not in our hand. But the conversion of sankalpa, the first thought, to a powerful kama, that requires my cooperation. If my cooperation is not there, it can never become a kama at all. It will be just dying as a first thought and that's it. So, the conversion does not happen by prakriti itself. It requires our cooperation, our blessing, our green signal, our connivance to some extent. Right? So, if you refuse to interfere in that conversion, what will happen then? The sankalpa itself will get repeated again and again in the mind. And finally, what you will do? You will end up in doing an action, either to acquire something or get rid of something, whatever it is. So, if you have not interfered, the prakriti's force will convert the sankalpa into kama, which will later become karma. But fortunately, I have got a very, very strong say in the conversion from sankalpa to kama. Sankalpa is first thought. Okay? Sankalpa is first thought. Sankalpa to kama, the conversion, I have a big say on that. It is like a security council. You have got a veto power now. You can veto that first thought and remove it. If you nourish it, it is going to end up in kama. So also, prakriti is very powerful. But its power, its jurisdiction is only up to the first thought level only. Nobody can change. Even the greatest jnani cannot change the first thought. It will come. He may be the greatest jnani because it is driven by his purvajanma vasanas. It is driven by his all these first thoughts, sankalpa. Nobody can change it. But from that point onwards, that is where the difference between a jnani and all ignorant person comes. Jnani does not nourish it anymore. He does not repeat that thought anymore, clips it and throws it away. Whereas ordinary people, they fall victim to that thought. So by using discrimination and finding out what will be the consequence if I nourish this thought, thinking analytically. So you should be alert all the time. So by thinking analytically, then you will have, okay, will it be good for me? Will it be good for the society? Will it be good for the people to nourish this thought and develop it? Or it's not good, throw it away right now. That we have to analyze, we have to ask ourselves. For example, you think of a person who likes sweets, lot. You know, he likes sweets. And he also is found to be a diabetic, right? Mostly diabetic people only like sweets. And the doctor says no more sweets. The doctor has put no more sweets. So he goes to a function, and what is the first item served in the function? Payasam is what is put first. The first thing is served is payasam. And sweet is what is served. Now he has got a vasana for sweets. He likes the sweets. Because look at payasam itself, that's it. You know, tongue is already sweating, all that thing. Now he is looking at the sweet. Prakriti cannot push him to take the sweet. Prakriti can make him look at the sweet and then say, oh, this is what you like. But Prakriti will not make his hand move, take the payasam and drink. It won't make him do that. He has to do that. Okay? So Prakriti only will tell your mind, you can eat the sweet. But eating the sweet is your free. So don't blame Prakriti for it. So when people put every blame on destiny, on fate and all, no. Fate has not made you to do any action. Any action is done by your own will, by your own free will. So, Prakriti's job is over just with that. Oh, I like payasam. It's very nice. It's over right there. And that feeling, if you repeat that in your thought, the little bit you may think may not do any harm. Only one sip is fine. You go like this. It will not stop. So, we can give any number of such examples, including anger. Even anger, any of the emotions, any of the whatever it is. So, if that feeling I repeatedly nurture and nourish, then we will find that I feel like eating, I feel like doing this, it gets converted into action and finally you will eat. That's what will happen. So, once I will eat comes, then on, it is completely gone. You have no control on that. So, I will eat can never come without my cooperation. That we have to understand very clearly. And that cooperation is free will, which has to be taken care of by me. So that is why for animals, that option is not there. For animals, free will is not there. It just does according to its own instinct. Whereas for us, that option is available. We have this free will and we have to make use of this free will all the time. It may appear that the gap between the sankalpa, first thought, and the kama seems to be too large. I think people might think like that. It is not that first I feel like eating, then slowly I want. No, it doesn't happen that way. It all happens very fast. Very quickly it becomes. Sankalpa comes, immediately kama comes, done. It is very quick. It takes very, very short time for that to be converted so easily. So you kick the person in anger. Anger comes, somebody immediately, you know, all violent reactions happen. People kick, they do all that thing. If you lead an alert life, and if you are aware of our own thoughts and live a thoughtful life all the time, we can find that thoughts do not convert that easily at all. If you are alert, and if we really try to keep a gauge on what we think and how we do things, we will realize easily that thoughts do not get converted that easily at all. Because it is an exercise, it's alertness. Really speaking, we have lot of time, to be honest. For the conversion not to happen, we have lot of time, but we have never observed our mind at all in that aspect. We have led such a mechanical life, all the time mechanical life, that we are never aware of all these stages at all. We don't think about any of those stages. It becomes just instinctively something happening. Just like when a musician sings, for example, he can do a lot of things as he's singing. He'll be doing so many things. He can glide even. He can do, you know, the expert musician, you may think, wow, how he's gliding, all that. You can see all that thing. But he is aware every moment that he is conducting himself with that alertness that he will not go beyond the realm of his music. He may appear to be gliding for you, but he is in absolute control. He is always alert. So it looks as if we have no choice at all, but we have a lot of choices the way we will control and then administer our free will. So also from sankalpa to kama, even though it looks as though it is very fast, but we have got a lot of time to be aware. And then we can see how we can very slowly, from understanding, we are going to become, a control of our free will can lead us to away from any danger that might arise out of the first sankalpa. So even after studying Gita, a lot of people, this is what happens. I know that I should not do these things. I know. Nobody, everybody knows. Dharma, everybody knows. Nobody knows, go to any Dharma college to learn. Everybody knows what is good and bad. Nobody, there is no difference in that. And mind wants and tells us also. And gradually we find that mind slips down in spite of learning Gita, in spite of learning Vedanta. Each stage we have a control. But generally, we don't put the effort at all to control. That is the problem. So, which needs tremendous practice. Tremendous practice and alertness. Every moment in life, we should be alert. That's why he's a sattvic person. 100% sattvic means what? Alert all the time. Alert means what? He has the control of his mind. He doesn't let his mind wander. He controls the mind through his viveka shakti, through his discriminative ability. So this is the discipline, this wakefulness or alertness, so that in the first sankalpa, sankalpa or the thought stage itself, I can remove. I will not nurture it anymore. Therefore, what is the life of a karma yogi now? Karma yogi also is driven by prakriti. Karma yogi also is driven, first thought he cannot stop. It will come to him, gate crash on him. When he faces the situation, his mind also, in his mind also the thought comes. Ragadvesha comes, do this, don't do that. All these things come to him also. Come to a karma yogi, come to a jnani, for everybody they come. If prakriti only produces ragadvesha in the mind, but ragadvesha is not converted into kama and karma, that is desire and action, without his permission, he thoroughly censors R&D. This person can, because R&D will get crashed on him, now he has the ability to cut off Ragadvesha, and he will be able to do things analytically according to what the Shastra says. What is to be done by Dharma, Adharma, that kind of Viveka he has got. So he asks the question, whether I can fulfill or not, and then he allows the Prakriti to express itself. If he thinks, okay, by allowing Prakriti to express itself, this no harm done is good, he will allow the Prakriti to express. If not, he will let the Prakriti slide away, slip away. He will not allow that to express. So this is, he will see whether it is good for me. Is it good for my spiritual progress? Is it good for my people around me? Not just me alone. By doing an action, it may appear good to you, but for people around you, it may not be good. So he thinks all that. And then he makes a decision. And that's what Krishna says here. Indriyasya, indriyasya arthe ragadveshav vyavasthitav. Towards every sense object, everybody has got raga and dvesha. Towards every sense object, which is according to what? According to prakriti. To every sense object, you have got, you know, raga and dvesha. Raga is attachment, dvesha is, you know, already all that. So prakriti. So actually, Swami Dayananda, he used to normally tell, for example, if you have got a Punjabi jnani, jnani, but Punjabi, and Punjabi jnani comes for eating, so you give him chapati, and you also you give rice. Both you give him. Punjabi jnani. But Punjabi jnani used to what? Eating chapati. He is jnani. Chapati and rice should not make a difference for him. He is jnani. But naturally what he will eat? Only chapati will eat. Prakriti. There is nothing wrong in that. But that is what he will eat. Because he is driven by prakriti there. He is his own vasana, his own taste, whatever it is. He takes only that. There is nothing wrong in taking rice also. He is not going through that argument. He is just taking, because that is what he is used to, that is his nature. That's what he, so depends. So he may be a jnani, alright, but as a human being with the prakriti background, he being used to that, he will take that dish. Which is governed by what? His own nature and his own things of the past. So each individual is a product of his own prakriti. Each one is a product of that. So every individual will have R&D. R&D is ragadvesha, surfacing whenever he faces or she faces any situation. Whenever you are exposed to some situation, this ragadvesha will surface. It will naturally surface. You cannot stop it. It will naturally surface. But whether the surfaced ragadvesha should be allowed to fruition or not, to fulfill or not, to continue further or not, that is in the hands of me. That is in my hands. It is not prakriti anymore at all. So this is called the free will, which is a unique plus point in humans and not in animals, as we said earlier. Animal up to action, it is the job of prakriti. For humans, only up to the first thought, it is the action of prakriti. For the animals, up to action, that is first thought, kama, karma, action. Up to the entire thing is prakriti. For humans, only up to first thought, sankalpa is prakriti, kama and karma in your hands, in your free will. For ragadvesha to be made powerful, it requires my cooperation. Then on karma, it also requires my cooperation. Even after powerful kama has come, powerful desire has come, just before doing the action, a person can hold. Sometimes it may happen. The desire may be so strong, but for it to become action, even at that point, if his free will is strong, he can control. But once it becomes so saturated, it's very difficult for him to control. He will get into action. That's what he will do. It is like putting a sudden brake when you are traveling at 70, 80 miles. Very difficult. Because desire has become so strong. Already you are driving 100 miles now. Suddenly to stop it is very difficult. It may be dangerous also. So that what will happen for such people. So then he will tell himself, now on, I will not stop at action level. It is very, very difficult for me to stop. So he just tries to, now he will explain. He already became a drunkard. Now what he will say? If I don't drink, how this guy will survive? He has put a shop now there, you know, thinking that, you know, unless we buy, he cannot survive. So it is like this. He has to make that guy survive, right? So he will now try to explain all kinds of things that doing once is not, only mind has to be pure, I can do anything. As if purity is very easy for you to get somewhere. If mind is pure, no problem. These are all lame arguments. People just to give because they have no self-control of any kind. Their free will is, they are not acting according to their free will based on dharma. They are just, you know, it's another animal life. No other difference at all. So then a stage comes when even as the first sankalpa comes, it's like a smoke detector, you know. Intellect is now aware. It will take to the lab of Shastra. When this free will is alert, the moment first thought comes, it will put it in the laboratory of Shastras. Dharma, Adharma. Analysis. Whether it is based on the Varna, based on his Ashrama. As a brahmachari, can I do this? As a grahastha, can I do it? As a sannyasi, can I do it? He will ask all those questions because he has learned the scriptures now. He knows the sastras. So he knows what should be done, what should not be done. Whether it will be according to my varna, according to my ashrama. He will ask all those things. So according to my varna and my ashrama, my social status, my age, my place, my time, all will be taken into account when I want to make a decision of doing a certain thing or not. If it is not worth, scrap it right then and put it back in the circular file. Do not even nourish that thought anymore. But it requires a very, very alert life, and therefore it looks as if it is inconquerable. Yeah, very alert life, very difficult to get. So how am I going to manage it? It's always a problem. For example, if you say gymnastics, you see that child, you know, doing so many things. Did it happen overnight? Right from birth almost, I think I heard in China and all, when the child is 1 year old, 2 year old itself, they try to start practicing the for them to get the gold medal after 15 years. It should come like that. So the practice, so much of practice you need, then you, when you watch the gymnastics, you will feel as if you can also do it. It will appear, you know, when pole ball, when that guy jumps maybe 7, 10 feet, you will feel as if you can also take the pole and jump. Cannot happen. You require so much of practice, and it has to come all the time. Alertness should be there all the time. So between ragadvesha and karma, even though that time gap seems to be very small, we can put actually within that small time, if you look at the guy who is in the gymnastics, within that small fraction of a second, he will put 5 somersaults. He can put. So, but you may think that time is very short, but he has so much time to put 5 somersaults within that short time. So we will be able to do it also, even though this gap seems to be very small, we will be able to control that. We will be able to make sure that we are doing the right things. So it is not decent even to entertain some thoughts. We cannot even entertain certain thoughts. We think that only action should be avoided. Many times we think only action should be avoided. No. Even a bad thought itself should not be entertained. Because at thought level itself, one should be able to curtail. Madhu manishye, madhu janishye, madhu bakshyami, madhu vadishyami. Manishye, when I think, the thought should be a good thought. So for that, mind should be alert all the time. Even any small amount of bad thought should not be entertained at all. I should remember all the time, once I allow karma to remain, between karma and karma, that gap is very small. If I allow karma to, when you allow sankalpa to become karma, and karma to karma, that time gap is very small. It will immediately manifest into action. Once my desire is very strong, it will immediately try to manifest into action. But between sankalpa and karma, there is a good gap. That gap I can control. To make the sankalpa to become a karma, I can control with my free will. But once karma has become strong, for that to convert to karma, that is very quick. It is very, very difficult to control. So I should not go up to that karma level at all. I should try to cut them there. Then it is when we will find it is possible to govern our life into spiritual action, and karma yoga is possible if I am alert and do not nurture this first thought, the sankalpa. That's what Krishna says. Indriyasya arthe ragadveshav vyavasthithav. Who does not have prakriti? Definitely it will be there. Everybody has it. Then what should you do? Tayoho vasham na agachet. Tayoho, never be under the control of ragadveshas. Never. Vasham. Under the control. Never. Na agachet. Because you have a vote there. You have a free will there. Tayoho vasham na agachet. Never come under the sway of ragadvesha. If you find that ragadvesha, it's all right. It's like, you know, food habits and all those things. It varies from place to place, from people to people. For 20 years, you have taken only a particular food. So, you will always have a liking for it. That's fine. No problem at all. Nothing. No harm. It's fine. Absolutely. So, some people have some liking for some dress. Fine. You wear that dress. Nothing. No harm done for anybody else. There are many things which show our own personality. The way I eat, the way I dress, it shows my personality also to some extent. That's all fine. Then actually, just like, you know, a rose is different from another jasmine flower is different from hibiscus. Because that is how you distinguish. Each one has its own personality. Each person will have the personality. That is fine. Individuality is absolutely fine. There is nothing damaging at all. It is not going to cause any harm to anybody. Which personality even jnanis had? There were active jnanis, The passive gyan is Ramana Maharshi was always in his place. He never moved around, wandered around, established ashramas, giving to any of those things. Whereas Adi Shankara went the entire length and breadth of the entire country, always active, established matas, had so many shishyas, then condemned so many other wrong faiths. He did all that thing. Is he a less jnani than Ramana Maharshi? No. He is an active jnani, that jnani is a secluded jnani. That's all the only difference. But both are jnanis. So when Shankaracharya acted, it was not a bondage for him. When he acted, there was no bondage for him. It was not the problem, not there was a problem to the world also. Like you think he did a lot of good only to the world. There was no, by his action, there was no harm done to the world. Only good things were done to the world. And he didn't have any bondage because of their action also. So there are certain ragadveshas which define my personality, which makes me different from all other people. So that is absolutely fine. One doesn't have to worry about it at all. One may be good in mathematics, another person can be good in biology. That's fine. No problem at all. It is his own, taste. And that ragadvesha, we need not suppress any time. No problem. You don't have to suppress that ragadvesha at all. If I like math, let me pursue math. No problem. What is wrong in that? Nothing wrong in that. So there are so many prakriti, so many nature, so many tendencies, which are harmless tendencies. They are good tendencies also. When it becomes harmless, no problem, you can want to listen to music, do all that thing. There are Hindustani music, Carnatic music, some people may like this, some people may like that, doesn't matter, not damaging at all. Thus a karma yogi, he is a person who takes that prakriti's expression, censors it very much, and only if he finds that it is allowed in the shastra, he allows that to express. See, he has the confidence and he has the control to express what prakriti he wants to express. See, prakriti comes. All the prakriti, 1, 2, 3, 4 prakriti comes. But the jnani knows, prakriti 2 and 3 I will express, 1 and 4 not good for the world, I will suppress. He has the control of that. He can do that thing. Whatever he expresses is according is from the prakriti only, but whatever is his prakriti, he does not express. See, this is a very subtle argument again. What, for example, I teach Bhagavad Gita. So whatever I know, I don't teach, but whatever I teach, I know. I know material science, I know philosophy, I know Vedic scriptures, I know a few things. I teach Gita. So whatever I know, whatever I teach is whatever I know, what I know. But whatever I know, I don't teach. I am not teaching all other things, I am teaching only Gita. So whatever I teach, I know. But whatever I know, I don't teach. I know so many things, I don't teach. So whatever prakriti, he doesn't express all of them. So whatever he expresses is according to prakriti. You see what the difference between that? So whatever he expresses is according to prakriti. Whatever is prakriti, he doesn't express. Prakriti, so many vasanas, he may have so many, he doesn't express all of them. So if he does not control what will happen, the damage Krishna says, tau hi asya paripantinav. These ragadveshas are great obstacles. Paripanti. Paripanti means they are like way layers. When you go travel, those days when people travel from one place to another place, all these way layers will be the robbers. They will just come without your knowledge. So paripanti, these are things, the ragadveshas, they will just get you off guard. You just go there, you don't know, you just got into that, you got into that. So you would have heard some kind of, thoughts that might come, and it will rob you of your own viveka shakti, your own ability to discriminate. So because of that, the journey itself is hampered. When these robbers come, the journey is hampered. Here also, my journey is what? Spiritual journey to moksha. So that journey is going to be hampered by what? These robbers, raga and dvesha, gundas. These people will come. And with this, so we have got the important wealth. What is the wealth we got? Discrimination. Viveka Shakti we got. So with this Viveka Shakti, we will be able to deal with these two gundas, namely raga and dvesha. And with this Viveka, this is the only currency valid in spiritual journey. In the spiritual journey, what is the only currency that is valid? Viveka Shakti alone. All other currencies are not valid there. This is the only currency that we note. And when this person goes, raga dvesha that comes and try to rob him away of his viveka shakti, of his discriminative ability. And if it's an angry person, and if he does not control the anger, even if it's his own child, Because of anger, this guy gets so blinded, he may even kill the child sometimes. We have seen all these things in news. This anger has become so much, this guy became a brute, he even killed his own child. After that he will lament. He will let control anger to supersede over him, and he even killed his own child. So the very first thought when it comes, the sankalpa, I censor my thought. If it is too much, then it becomes krodha. It becomes either kama or it becomes krodha. So you have to put, the moment it becomes krodha, anger, slight anger comes, you should now put special instruction. It is an intensive carry unit. You have to put special instruction now and make sure that the anger doesn't develop. For that, if you want to drink water, fine, or leave the place, fine. You have to be alert. For that, you should be alert. Otherwise, you will get drawn by the anger. So you have to be alert, and if you want to leave the scene, leave the scene. Doesn't matter. Otherwise, it is going to kill you. So too much of karma, so you have to have special instructions, special way to deal with them. So many times in a day, ask myself, spend 15 minutes, 10 minutes, should I, and recapitulate all the thoughts, should I entertain this thought or not? Before going to a meeting, be prepared for the worst. Oh, this is a meeting I am going into. People might argue, it may flare up, those things might happen, but I should be cool. Tell before you go to the meeting. And in the meeting, as the meeting is going on, arguments are flaring up. Tell yourself again, this argument are flaring up now. Control yourself. You have to be alert all the time. If you don't, you will fall to that thought immediately and it will ruin everything. So one should be alert, alert all the time. So there is no other way. Tauhim asya paripantina. So they only rob our discriminative ability, viveka shakti. So our actions will become obstacle to ourselves if we do not control ourselves. And the greatest danger is what? It is once or twice they may fail, then we ourselves will become diffident about ourselves. Once you fail in this argument, then what we become? We become diffident of ourselves. We lose confidence. We become diffident ourselves. We have no confidence ourselves at that time. We become helpless people. So then what we decide, it is not going to be possible at all, so I will give up. I cannot, my free will, I am not able to do this thing at all, so I will give up now. So we should not fail the first time itself. So mind should be trained in such a way that we do not fail even in the very first attempt. We should make sure we do not fail at all. It may be a failure in the physical relative sense, but it may not be failed in the absolute sense, because in that process you have learned something also. So you can apply in the next opportunity and then make sure that that mistake is not repeated. So even if we fail the first time, we should put double the effort, and the second time, you know, that is becoming more powerful. So at that time you can control it even better. It is like, you know, the Vali concept in Ramayana. What does it mean? Each time somebody comes in front of him, he gets twice the power. This is karma. Each time you fail, this become karma becomes doubly powerful. So that is the problem. This karma, Vali is like that. It's becoming doubly powerful. So anybody comes in front of him, it becomes doubly powerful. So this is what Ragadvesha is like that. It becomes doubly powerful and I become weaker. So the opponent becomes weaker, Vali becomes doubly strong. Same thing, I become weak, Ragadvesha becomes strong, karma becomes strong. So every failure gives strength to Prakriti. Every failure gives strength to Prakriti or Ragadvesha and weaken free will. Free will is being weakened. And a time comes when free will is almost non-existent for this person. He leaves everything to karma, everything to Ragadvesha and just surrender. That means he becomes an animal. There is no difference between him and animal at all. But if we start right from the beginning, even in small affairs, we control our thoughts, then it is possible to completely change our own lifestyle. That is possible, we can change the lifestyle. So that is what Krishna says here. Tauhi asyam paripantina. Never allow sankalpa to become karma. Sankalpa to karma translation is the most important translation. Very difficult to control. One should make all efforts to control. Karma to karma is almost instantaneous. It will just, so do not allow sankalpa to become karma. Kama to karma will become very quickly. Shreyan swadharmo vigunaha.
Shreyan swadharmo vigunaha. Shreyan swadharmo vigunaha.
Paradharma swanushtitat.
Paradharma swanushtitat. Paradharma swanushtitat.
Shreyan. ಶ್ರೇಯಾನ್ ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮೋ ವಿಗುಣ ಪರಧರ್ಮಾಸ್ವನುಷ್ಠಿತಾದ ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮೇ ನಿಧನಂ ಶ್ರೇಯಃ
ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮೇ ನಿಧನಂ ಶ್ರೇಯಃ ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮೇ ನಿಧನಂ ಶ್ರೇಯಃ
ಪರಧರ್ಮೋ ಭಯಾವಹಃ
ಪರಧರ್ಮೋ ಭಯಾವಹಃ ಪರಧರ್ಮೋ ಭಯಾವಹಃ
ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮೇ ನಿಧನಂ ಶ್ರೇಯಃ ಪರಧರ್ಮೋ ಭಯಾವಹಃ
ಸ್ವಧರ್ಮೇ ನಿಧನಂ ಶ್ರೇಯಃ ಪರಧರ್ಮೋ ಭಯಾವಹಃ
ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗಿವ್ಸ್ ದ ಡಿಫರೆನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಸ್ಟೈಲ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಸ್ಟೈಲ್ಸ್ ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ ಅ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಹೂ ಈಸ್ ಡ್ರಿವನ್ ಬೈ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಅ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಹೂ ಈಸ್ ಡ್ರಿವನ್ ಬೈ ಫ್ರೀಡಮ್. ಸೊ ಹೀ ಈಸ್ ಟ್ರೈಂಗ್ ಟು ಗಿವ್ ದ ಡಿಫರೆನ್ಸ್ ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಡ್ರಿವನ್ ಬೈ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಅ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಡ್ರಿವನ್ ಬೈ ಫ್ರೀಡಮ್ ಹೂ ಹಸ್ ಲರ್ನ್ಡ್ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ ಹೂ ನೋಸ್ ಧರ್ಮಾಧರ್ಮ. ಸೊ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ ಸಂಸ್ಕೃತ ಪುರುಷಾರ್ಥ. ಸೊ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ ಇಂಡ್ಯೂಡ್ ಇಂಟಲೆಕ್ಟ್. ಸೊ ಒನ್ ಇಸ್ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ಅನುಸಾರಿ, ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಹೂ ಫಾಲೋಸ್ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ. ಅನದರ್ ಒನ್ ಇಸ್ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ ಅನುಸಾರಿ, ಹೂ ಫಾಲೋಸ್ ಶಾಸ್ತ್ರ. ಹಿ ಇಸ್ ಟ್ರೈಂಗ್ ಟು ಡಿಫರೆನ್ಷಿಯೇಟ್ ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ ದಟ್. ಸೊ ವೆನ್ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಇಸ್ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ಅನುಸಾರಿ, ಹೂ ಫಾಲೋಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ, ಈಸ್ ಓನ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ಟಿಕ್ಟ್ ಇನ್ಸ್ ಓನ್ ನೇಚರ್ ಸ್ವಭಾವ, ದೆನ್ ಹಿ ಗೋಸ್ ಅಕಾರ್ಡಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಹಿ ಸ್ವಭಾವ, ಹಿ ವಿಲ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಫಾಲೋ ಪರಧರ್ಮ. ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ವೆನ್ ಹಿ ಈಸ್ ಡ್ರಿವನ್ ಬೈ ಹಿಸ್ ಓನ್ ನೇಚರ್, ದಿಸ್ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ವಿಲ್ ಆಲ್ವೇಸ್ ಟೆಂಡ್ ಟು ಫಾಲೋ ಆಲ್ ಅದರ್ ಧರ್ಮಸ್ than his swadharma, his own dharma. So that is what the instinct, he will become like that. A person will follow, when he is driven by his own nature, he will follow paradharma. Paradharma is all other things. That I am a manager, I am supposed to do managerial job. If I will be more inclined to do typist job. See, that is paradharma. That is, typist job is dharma. So manager job is not typist job. So this guy will type, oh, I also know typing. He will go and grab the machine and start typing. That guy will get confused. My manager is a typist, rather than it's a manager. So he would be more interested in paradharma. Because of his raga dvesha, even though he knows he should not do that, even though he knows this person, because he is driven by prakriti, he does that. That's what he does. So swadharma tyagaha and paradharma anushtanam he does. Swadharma tyagaha, he does not do his swadharma. Paradharma anushtanam, he follows the paradharma, the atar dharma, which is not supposed to do. Doing what should not be done and not doing what should be done. That is the problem which we all, why Rudra is angry with us. Yeah, namaste Rudra, manya utvata ishave namaha, all that, om namo bhagavate Rudra, enter Rudra. Rudra is angry with us. Why? We don't do what Shastras want us to do. And we do what Shastras is not to do. So these are the two sins we make. So Rudra is angry. I am teaching you dharma, I am teaching you the good way of life, and you are not following that. So Krishna is like, you know, the child, when you tell instructions to your child, the child is not following, you get angry with the child. Same thing Rudra does. So dharma you are not following, and what dharma tells you not to follow, you do. What the dharma says what to do, you don't do. So this is the problem. So swadharma tyagaha, paradharma anushtanam is what we are doing. So this is what will happen. This, when you are governed by prakriti, this is what will happen. If you are governed by free will, this won't happen, because governed by prakriti, you are doing. So actually this we see everywhere in the entire scriptures. Ravana is a grahastha. Ravana is a great scholar. Ravana is a brahmana. Lot of people did not know Ravana was a brahmana. Lot of people thought Ravana is a rakshasa, is fine. They thought rakshasa is actually our Subramanian Swami made, you know, he used to make this remark. For a long time, Karnanadi did not know that Ravana was a rakshasa. Brahmana. So he tried to educate him that Ravana is a brahmana to Karnanadi. So Ramana is a grahastha and he knows all the dharmas. He is a great scholar. He has learned very well, no problem, everything. So, but this person, what he did? He did the apaharanam of Sita, somebody else's wife. He is a grahastha. He had a wrong mind. He committed this sin. And according to Shastras, Matruvati Paradharani, the wife of other person is like your mother. That is what Shastra says. This Ravana, does he know? Does he not know this? He knows. Because he is a great pandita. He knows. Matruvati Paradharani, he knows. Paradrivyani Loshtavati. Others' wealth is like mud. You cannot have any attachment towards that at all. Somebody's wife is like mother. Somebody's wealth is like mud for you. You have no use for it. It is somebody else's wealth. He earned it. You don't go and grab that wealth. Yeah, it is his earning. It is a sin to take somebody else's wealth. Atmavat sarvabhutani. All beings, you have to see Atma in all of them. You don't see physical differences. You don't see differences, name, form and karma. Don't see that. That of course in the relative world you have to see. But in the spiritual world, you should see they are all Chaitanya Swarupaha. Atmavatim sarvabhutani. That is what this jnani should see. So Paradara Matravate, like mother, and another's wealth is like mud. Ravana knew this. Does he not know this? He knew this. But he was governed by Ragadvesha. The first thought of liking her, he nourished it, went into Kama, and did action, abducted her, took her away, and ended in his own destruction. That's what he did. So, such a powerful Ravana, in that particular moment, when this particular thought came, he did not nip it in the bud. He allowed it to nourish. He did not mind stooping to such a level, in spite of being a great scholar. So, Paradharmaha. Now, for him, for a Grahastha Dharma, this is not the Dharma he should do. He's a Grahastha. He should look at all other wives of other people as mothers. He did not. So, he looked at the Paradharma. Swadharma, he forgot and went to Paradharma. Okay. And the one who is governed by Shastram, he does not give Swadharma at all. And never takes up to Paradharma anytime. Paradharma, Swadharma, they are based on what? Varna and Ashrama. We don't understand this. These are Varna Ashrama Dharmas. What Varna I belong to? I am a Brahmana. What is my Dharma? If I am a Kshatriya, what is my Dharma? Arjuna is a Kshatriya. What is his Dharma? To fight the war, to establish Dharma. That is his role. Now what he wants to do? He wants to become a Jnani. He wants to leave everything and then go and sit in seclusion and do tapas. That is Paradharma. That is not his Dharma. His Dharma is Kshatriya. He supports Dharma. He is supposed to do that. But he is now trying to take up to sannyasi or go to a secluded life and then want to do penance. That's what he is trying to do. That is Paradharma. So that's what Krishna keeps on saying. A Kshatriya should not do a Brahmana's Dharma and a Brahmana should not try to do a Kshatriya's Dharma. These are all Varna Dharmas which are different. Okay. And Ashrama Dharma also. Grahastha Ashrama and Brahmacharya Ashrama, Sannyasa Ashrama, all those things. Whatever is the Dharma. So Arjuna tells, I won't fight this war. What is it? Bhikshamapi. Even if I have to beg. That's what he said. We saw it in the second chapter. Even if I have to beg, I don't mind. But I will not fight this war. Begging is whose job? Begging is the job of a brahmacharya and a sannyasi. So Ashrama Dharma also he is violating. As a grahastha, he cannot beg. A brahmacharya can only beg and eat. And also a sannyasi. So he says, I will choose to even begging. So he is willing to even sacrifice his Varna Dharma, he is willing to sacrifice his Ashrama Dharma, with all Paradharmas, his Swadharma he is not going to uphold as a Grahastha and also as a Kshatriya. Okay. So he wanted to get rid of this dharmic battle and which is Swadharma Tyaga. So Arjuna, you are trying to do Swadharma Tyaga and Paradharma Karanam because of what? Ragadvesha. Because of your own Ragadvesha, you are trying to do that. It is not good at all. That's what Krishna tells him. It is not at all good. And suppose you say that you are not able to do Swadharma that well. This is a normal argument. Swadharma, I am not very good in doing this thing. Swadharma, not well. But you are an expert in doing Paradharma. Somebody else's Dharma, I am good. Normally, this is the argument, most intellectuals will say. I am good in my subject more than what he is good in his subject. That is number one ego. And second thing is what? I can do even his subject more efficiently than him. That is the second level of ego. So Paradharma. I can do more than my own subject. His subject I can do better than him. It's an ego. It's an alter ego. So people do all that things. So you feel that Paradharma you can do better. Everybody will feel like, most people will feel like that thing. Then I can do the other person's job very well. That is what normally people compare. You go to an office, that guy is sitting and doing some clerical work or whatever, some government office is sitting and doing. You say, oh, this is such a simple job, I would have done it in 2 minutes. This guy took for 2 hours. Maybe practically it is true, perhaps, I don't know. But most people try to say that you can do his job better than him. So even if you cannot do your Swadharma very well, Krishna says, you still remain in Swadharma only. Do not take to Paradharma. Even if you cannot do your Swadharma perfectly well, does not matter. But remain in the domain of your Swadharma only. That's what he says. Vigunaha api swadharmaha shreyam. Even if it is done inefficiently or imperfectly, swadharmaha is shreyam. That alone will give you shreyas. It is not necessary that you should do a perfect job in your swadharma. You can strive to be. But once you have taken to that, you stay on it. Do not leave it and take to paradharma. Therefore, swadharmaha shreyam. It is superior. Shreyam is superior. Superior to what? Paradharma swanushtita. It is superior to another's duty, another's dharma, even if it is done very well. Swanushtitat. Even if it is done very well, it is superior to doing the paradharma. If you do your sudharma, even less efficiently, does not matter. So do not leave your sudharma. So that's what Krishna says. That's what normally every, these are all day-to-day life, we see every officer says that he can do the job better than his clerk. That's fine, but he should let the clerk do his job. Because what is his manager's role? He has to extract good work of his subordinate. If he says that he can do the job better than his typist, then he's not a good manager, right? He should make sure that the typist does his job efficiently. That is his job. That is his manager's job. So he should make him do the better work than him trying to do his work. Right? So this word all the time. So and even if swadharma involves death, for example, doing swadharma anushtana, I want to follow swadharma, very difficult. Even if it's going to bring me death, Krishna says, die. No problem. Swadharme nidhanam shreyaha. Nidhanam means marana. Swadharme nidhanam. In doing the swadharma, even if death has to come, it is better. Take to death does not matter. Nidhanam is marana. Even death is better while doing swadharma. When I am following my own swadharma anushtanam, even if I have to confront with death, does not matter. Die for the sake of doing swadharma. Whereas paradharmo bhayavaha. Doing somebody else's dharma, paradharma, it is dangerous, it is harmful. Bhayavaha, it is frightening. Why it is frightening? Because you now violate once, then it becomes a rule. And you are a king. Arjuna, you are a king. You are a kshatriya. If you violate here, then that becomes a rule. Everybody will take it. Oh, Arjuna himself violated. Let me also. We need only one guy to violate the traffic rule. That's it. Everybody will just follow. Only one guy has to violate. So it is not that individual's violation. It is the violation of so many people following there. Whereas if we follow swadharma, if there is a failure, it is only one person's failure. Whereas here, it is the failure of a society, of a country. Everybody is going to follow, it is going to leave wrong messages, and people are going to honestly be dragged into more and more danger. So, when a person falls from swadharma, it is only the fall of one individual. When a person who does not follow swadharma but follows paradharma and falls there, then it is not just the falling of one person, it is the falling of a whole society. So that you cannot allow that to happen, and you are a kshatriya. You have to uphold your swadharma as a kshatriya and also your ashrama dharma as a grahastha. So you have to uphold those two and you should stay in the war and you should not try to get out of this war. So dying in swadharma is death of an individual only, it is fine. But staying in paradharma is the death of a whole society. Do you want the society to die or do you want to sacrifice only your life for the sake of the society? As a kshatriya, you make the decision. That's what he is telling Krishna. So sacrifice your life than damaging the society. That is the noble thing for a kshatriya to do. That is a noble sacrifice. Whereas living in paradharma can be hell even though you are alive. So you may be alive for physical sense, but it is hell only. You will not go to moksha at all. So Arjuna, go according to karma yoga. Because this is karma yoga is a topic. Go according to karma yoga. Use your free will. Never allow your vasanas to dictate your action. Topic is that. You have to understand that. Do not allow prakriti to take over your action. You allow your free will to take your action. And your free will should be governed by shastra. So learn the scriptures, learn the sastram, and do according to what is governed by dharma and adharma. This is the advice Krishna gives. So he is now continuing the same thing again in the next shloka, which we will read.
Athakena prayuktoyam. Athakena prayuktoyam.
పాపం చరతి పురుషః అథకేన ప్రయుక్తోయం పాపం చరతి పురుషః అనిచ్ఛన్నపి వార్ష్ణేయ బలాదివ నియోజితః అనిచ్ఛన్నపి వార్ష్ణేయ బలాదివ నియోజితః సో దిస్ ఇస్ అర్జున వాచ్. అర్జున ఇస్ ఆస్కింగ్ ద క్వశ్చన్ నౌ, ఇఫ్ స్వధర్మ ఇస్ గుడ్ ఫార్ వన్ సెల్ఫ్ అండ్ సొసైటీ అండ్ ఇఫ్ పరధర్మ ఇస్ ఈవిల్ ఫార్ వన్ సెల్ఫ్ అండ్ సొసైటీ, వై ఇస్ ఇట్ దట్ పీపుల్ గివ్ అప్ స్వధర్మ అండ్ ఆల్వేస్ ఇన్క్లైన్డ్ టు ఫాలో పరధర్మ? దట్ ఇస్ ద క్వశ్చన్ ఆఫ్ అర్జున. సింపుల్ క్వశ్చన్, రైట్? ఇఫ్ స్వధర్మ ఇస్ గుడ్, పరధర్మ ఇస్ నాట్ గుడ్, వై ఆల్ ద పీపుల్ వాంట్ ఓన్లీ ఫాలో పరధర్మ అండ్ నాట్ స్వధర్మ? దట్ ఇస్ ద సింపుల్ క్వశ్చన్, కామన్ క్వశ్చన్. So if one knows it is evil, why should somebody commit that mistake? Why should people do that? Atha kena prayuktaha, what is that force prayuktaha, that persuaded by whom? Prayuktaha, persuaded by whom? Kena means by which force? Purushaha papam charati, a person is doing sin, violating dharma. What is that force that drives a person to do papam, to do sin? That is his question. Because of ignorance people, many people violate, because of ignorance, not a people violate dharma. Right? Not a people violate dharma because of ignorance. They don't know. They violate dharma. But what we really find in society is, in spite of knowledge, in spite of knowing things, what people do, still they violate. Actually, the guy who knows more only violate more. In India, many of those guys, I was traveling by one car, the driver was telling me, no, you see, you are telling in Tamil. The padichavanga sir nadhi tappanu. The guy who learned well, only he does lot of mistakes, he does lot of sins. He tells me in the car, the taxi, you know, when I was going in a car, the guy, driver of the car, he having some discussion. So we are long distance. So this guy says, no, Sami, the padichavanga nadhi tappanu. The guy who learned very well only does lot of sins. That's what they say. So people who have all this knowledge, they tend to do more mistakes. So if you take the present example, most of the false values followed by people are not out of ignorance. People follow a lot of false values these days. Are they out of ignorance? Most of them are not out of ignorance. For example, as I told you the traffic rule example, when traffic rule is violated, everybody knows that he is violating. Thus, people don't know that they don't know they cannot violate. They know. They know that they are violating very well. In spite of it, they violate. Everybody, when he comes through our customs, this thing, you cannot bring avaka urai, you know. Who does not know? Everybody knows. But when the guy asks, you don't declare that you have some food here, a spicy item. You say, I have nothing. And come out. Who does that? Actually, I used to have a boss when I was in my previous job in Government of India. So he went to present some paper. You know, India, you know, you do some work, somebody will present the paper. So he went to present the paper, one of the work which I did in some symposium in some Europe. And comes back. And he comes back and he invites me for his home for, you know, some dinner get together. So I went home. You know, I came and all that thing. I brought this thing. I brought 4 bottles and all that. The guy asked me, what do you have? I said, I have nothing. No, not probably. No, I went for a conference and came. I brought 4 whiskey bottles. What do you do with him? So this is how people are. He knows he cannot buy. He cannot do this. But still, he does this. Right? This is what people do. Most of the people do that. They all know dharma. They all know the rule, but still they violate. Why do they do that? So even when well-educated people violate that, what is that force which seems to be even more powerful than the knowledge? Right? We should understand that fundamental thing. What is more powerful than that knowledge which they have that drives them to make this mistake, to make them do this sinful act? And all the corrupt people know, all the corrupt people know that corruption is wrong. Every corrupt person knows, he will definitely say other guy is more corrupt. Always he will say other guy is more corrupt. I made only 10 million, he made 20 million. So he is more corrupt than me. He will justify his corruption by telling the other guy is more corrupt. This is how society is. So they are asked to talk on corruption or evil. If you ask any of those guys to talk on corruption, he will give 1 hour lecture to you. How corruption is bad. Everything he will tell, he knows everything, no problem. So even when a thief, you know, he steals money, he knows it is not good to steal. He knows very well. Because he is going, for example, two thieves go to steal somewhere and they stole some money. And they asked, you know, maybe it was dark, so they didn't want to proceed further. They want to take rest in some, on the way somewhere. And they have got 10,000 rupees or whatever they have stolen there. One of the other guys, he stole away the 10,000 and he went away. These both have now stolen 10,000. And that guy took away that money. When this guy gets up, what he will say? He will say, look at that thief. He will scold him as a thief. He was a thief. They both act, they were together in getting and doing this act. But when that guy stole this money, he will call him a thief. This is how people are, generally, people are. So they all know what is good and what is not good, but still they do that. So what is that force that drives them to do this act? The force that drives them to do all the sinful act. So that's what Arjuna is asking. So now, we don't require actually to study Dharma, Adharma, Dharma Shastra to know these common values. People know this. We do not go to a Dharma Shastra class to know what is all these Dharma. We know all of them. Most of the people know. Most people in the world, they know what is right and wrong in day-to-day life. Because right and wrong is very simple. What is right and wrong? We have to analyze what is right and wrong. How we can say everybody knows this. What is right and wrong? Right and wrong just depends on what I don't want others to do to me that will harm me. Right? If I don't want somebody does something to me, if it is going to do harm to me, I don't want them to do it. Right? So that is what should not be done is that. And by doing something to me, it is going to help me. What others do to me, that is going to be good to me. Right? So people have to go through. So I don't want others to injure me. I should not injure them also. It's a fundamental value, right? I don't want others to injure me. I should not injure them also. But all the time what I do? I injure them. I don't want them to injure me, but I injure them all the time, most of the time. I don't want others to be corrupt towards me, but I want to corrupt others. I want to do all this. I don't want others to tell a lie to me, but I always engage in telling lies most of the time. So this is what I know. So all this dharma, adharma comes from this only. What you don't want others to do you that is harmful to you, and what you don't want others to do that is going to be beneficial to you. This is simple logic everybody knows. They want to act based on this only. So if it's not ignorance of dharma and adharma, everybody knows this, no problem at all. But in spite of it, if we violate, there must be some other force. This everything, even animals understand what is good for them, what is not good for them. If won't eat our grass. They don't eat our grass, most of them. Why? So much of pesticides, this and that, and it's hurting its stomach, it doesn't eat. So much of grass will be there, it will go and eat only that brown grass that is far away. It won't eat this grass because it knows it does harm to it. So it knows, that the deer knows. So in spite of that, if we violate, what is that force? Actually, Duryodhana, he said sometimes, Janami dharmam nachame pravrittihi. I know dharma very well. Janami dharmam. I know dharma very well. But I will not follow. Duryodhana said that. I know dharma very well, but I will not follow. Janami adharmam. I know adharmam also. Nachame nivrittihi. I know what is adharma, but I will always follow that. I know adharma, what is adharma, but I will follow that. I know what is dharma, I will not follow that. Why? Kenapi devena hridisthitena yata niyuktosmi tata karomi. Because in my heart, there is some powerful force that is there. Kenapi devena hridisthitena. Some powerful force is in my heart. And whatever that force commands me to do, I will do it. I know what is dharma. I know what is adharma, but it is in my heart, there is some powerful force, and whatever that force tells me to do, I am going to do that. That is what Duryodhana says. Ravana also same thing, he knows what is dharma and adharma, he has studied Vedas, Shastras, Vyakaranas, everything he has studied. He knows stealing is very bad, and also somebody else's wife, even you cannot even think of those things. Paradara Apakaranam is a very, very big mistake. He himself will not like if his wife is taken away by somebody else. He knows it. That's what he will do. So ignorance is not a problem. It is not out of ignorance people are doing mistakes. No. We need not teach dharma to these people at all. They know the values. Majority of the people, they know the fundamental values. So Arjuna asks, O Krishna, what is that mysterious force that propels a person to do even against his own conscience? His own conscience tells you not to do even that he does. Kena prayuktaha. Kena prayuktaha. What is that rakshasa forced by whom purushaha papam charati? Anichanapi. Anichanapi, even if they don't want. Anichanapi, even though he wants to do good things only, but in spite of it, he is drawn to do these wrong things. Why should he do that? Everybody wants to get only good name. People want to always get good name. No, why I want to be good? Because I want to be loved by people. Because if I am good, people love me. I am good because it's good for me. That's one thing. But people like me if I am good. So that's what generally I think. So I want to be loved by God. I want to be liked by all the people. So everyone says that. Nobody doesn't say that I don't want to be loved by people. Because that's a problem. Everybody wants me. So anichanati, even though he does not want to do evil, why does he do? It looks, he says, baladiva niyojitaha. It looks as if he is forcibly engaged. Baladiva. Baladiva means forcibly engaged by some evil devil in oneself. Some rakshasa is there in the mind that drives me to do that, even though I know it is not good to do it. Right? Baladiva niyojitaha. He is forcefully engaged by some evil thing. Like what? It's a Saturn. It's a Saturn in the mind that always forces me to violate dharma. That is Arjuna's question. It's a very, very simple question. It is a common question which people normally ask. Right? And Krishna is going to give a very elaborate reply in the next shloka, which we will see next class, because it is a long discussion. So we will not be able to complete it today. So we will do it next class. Yo Vedadau Swara Prokto Vedant.